Hey, we've been teaching through a series for several weeks to help us learn how our lives can start to look more and more like Jesus and become more and more like him. And so today we're going to explore how we can partner with the Holy Spirit to experience God in a real tangible way that's actually life-changing and makes a big difference. Listen to these headlines. Woman's severe allergies mysteriously disappear. Young professional manager gains sobriety for 11 months and lands a great job. Vibrant UMD student is delivered from years of oppression after getting free from demonic influence. These are like real life stories that happen right here, the Vineyard community. And the common denominator in every one of these stories is that followers of Jesus partnered with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in every story, in every person's life who's even getting baptized today, the Holy Spirit's just been on the move. He's been working in their lives over time. And you know what? Even as I'm standing here today, the Holy Spirit is like moving in many of your lives and has been for weeks and months, pursuing you with God's love. And in fact, as we were preparing and praying for this weekend in a staff meeting earlier this week, we felt that some of you have heard or the Spirit has been nudging you and inviting you to be baptized today. But it's hard and you've struggled to just say yes. In fact, most of us, before we get baptized, say maybe next time around, you know, several times. And so even as I'm sharing this, you know that it's you that I'm talking to. And in a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and be baptized today spontaneously. Because that's what Jesus is prompting you to do. Over the course of the last couple services, we've had five spontaneous and many other baptisms, and 16 people have recommitted or given their lives to Christ this weekend just from being here with the community. Yeah. So I look forward to this. It's going to be a fun time. There's a bit of a buzz, and we are excited about what God's up to. And so here's our big idea today. Our big idea today is that being missional and accomplishing God's purposes is the very heartbeat of the Holy Spirit. He is like always on mission, always working for God. And that should be, if we're going to follow Christ, our aim as well, right? So let's talk about what does it look like for us to partner with the Holy Spirit, and what does it mean? It means that we're going to choose to respond to that work that God's already up to in our lives, because he's already moving, he's already weaving and working and wanting things for us and for people around us. But what does it look like? What does it feel like for us to actually give our hearts over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and partner with him hand in hand so that we can experience even more of God's power and God's presence in our life? And so we're going to read today out of the Bible, because we always do, and it's our manual for how we live life. And we're going to read Matthew 3:13, and some of you who are very diligent note takers are looking at your sermon notes and you're gasping. It doesn't say Matthew 3:13. It says 2 Corinthians on my program. I should let her know. She's got the wrong passage. Actually, what I call that is preacher's prerogative. Especially if you wake up the day before you're preaching or the day of preaching and you hear God say, change your passage. So that was a little prompting of the Holy Spirit. I think he's just letting that be an example. I don't know. But so we're using the passage Matthew 3:13-17. But before we do, let's pray. Father, thanks so much for the joy in heaven and the joy in our community and just what we feel, the excitement of lives being lived but changed forever by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, I'm so excited for the people that are being baptized today, because I know that it brings you so much joy and so much pleasure as they follow you and follow Jesus and be baptized today. And so, Father, I ask that you would lift a veil, and that even as we go deeper into Scripture and we experience our time together, that you would take us deeper in our relationship with you and teach us how to give our hearts to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. All right, let's read Matthew 3, 13 through 17. It says this. This is the story of Jesus being baptized. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went down, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. And Jesus went on with and in the power of the Holy Spirit to do amazing things while he was here on earth. And the same Holy Spirit is here today for each of us and every one of us. But how we decide to respond makes a difference. It really matters. And so I want to look at some steps that we can take just to be responsive people when it comes to the work of God in our lives. And, you know, the first thing I think we need to do is just learn how to listen and learn how to follow his leading. Because Galatians 5:25 says, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And so what would it take for us to, like, increase our ability to hear God's voice? You know, here's a news flash for us. And this is something that God has said to me many times. If we're not hearing God's voice, the problem is not on God's end. So where's the breakdown in communication happening? Like, it's on my end. So what am I not doing so that I can hear God's voice? And I think, like, one of the number one reasons why we don't hear God's voice, because here's the thing. God is speaking to all of us all the time. He's not trying to be aloof and hard to, you know, hear. He's wanting his heart and his message on every situation and matter in our life to get through to us. So, you know, he's doing his part. He's speaking to us. The problem is we just don't hear because we don't recognize his voice. Like, we get his voice and our voice mixed up. We think that every time we have a good idea or we're inspired to do some good deed, or we just think it's us having a good day. No, it's God's voice. All the good stuff is God. I just, you know, think that we tend to take credit for it and we think it's us, which is kind of silly, because I don't think there's that. I don't think we can come up with all that without his help. So I think he's constantly putting thoughts in our hearts and our minds, and we just haven't learned to recognize his voice. And hearing God, it's not that much different than how you would hear or relate to another person or another friend. And the reason why we don't hear other people is because it's so noisy or because we're just too busy to really stop and to listen. Or maybe we are, like, so self-focused that when we get in conversations, we're just always talking about ourselves, and we never stop to listen or ask good questions because we're just self-focused. You know what? Ultimately, if we aren't spending enough time with God to learn the sound of his voice and what it sounds like, then we're just not going to recognize it. And that would be true of anyone that we are having conversations or relationship with. Another way that we respond to God's Spirit is just by taking an honest look at discovering our gifts and our calling. And who am I? What's my purpose in life? What did God make me for? What's the DNA? What did he put in me? And we can learn how to discover that and how to depend on the Holy Spirit more than our natural gifts and abilities. Because it's really very easy to grow dependent on our own abilities, our own skills, our own experience if we're good at things. But I'll tell you, no matter how talented you are, how able you are, eventually we all come to the end of ourselves. And, you know, we get in a situation or we get in a relationship that we're trying to stay committed to, and we just find ourselves kind of going solo. And we're on our own. We're on our own wisdom. We're on our own strength. And one of the things that we are passionate about is just that opportunity to help you discover your gifts and find out, you know, what has God put in you? Because we're all so uniquely made and created. And then how do I let the Holy Spirit get on that and be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that I can run freely and actually find a lot of fruit in my life through accomplishing what God wants, God's purposes. And that kind of leads us to our next response, which is just to ask the Holy Spirit to fill and to empower us daily. You know, a long time ago, I realized that if I didn't, first thing in the morning when I got up, about the same time I put my feet on the floor, if I didn't say, God, apart from you today, it's going to be a really bad day. Like, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to have the wrong focus. I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to be in charge. That's always bad fruit. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, even Jesus prayed, apart from your spirit, apart from you, I can do nothing. That's a humble but honest prayer. It's a great way to start your day. And people today, like in the 21st century, in our culture, families, towns, cities, even nations, they want answers to the same old, you know, age-old problems. And I'm not sure that some of the things that we are looking for are going to be really solved around the political roundtable. I think it's going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that we need the Holy Spirit's help to like find relevant solutions for the needs in our greater Twin Port community. And so many situations or so many life issues, they seem so complicated. In my life and in the life of people around us, it's hard to navigate some of the stuff that's going on in people's lives. But then the Holy Spirit comes and he like speaks to us and he says, you know, pray this, say this, offer this, address this. It's kind of like, you know, his thoughts are like this prescription that God is just like writing out on how to release the power of God and how to address life's issues. And we just have to learn how to hear the Spirit and then follow his leading. And it makes us a better person. It makes us more human. It makes us a better wife or husband or father or mother, spouse. You know, when you don't feel wise, it's the Holy Spirit that comes and gives you wisdom. When you don't feel like you have enough grace to get through the day, he brings more and he deposits it in you. When you don't know what to pray, he comes and he fills in the gaps and he prays it for you. Partnering with the Holy Spirit is also actively listening and then taking action steps. You know, it's one thing to say it or listen or know it. It's another thing to actually do it. So, you know, having the courage to do the things that we hear from God. How do we not miss God's activity all around us? If God's up to stuff, he's doing stuff all around us, how do we not miss it? Here's a couple things that I think might be helpful. The first thing that we can do is just stop and admit it. Just frequently admit your need for God. You know, it's just helpful to have some self-awareness of our own need for God and our own experiences of the Holy Spirit. And that way we can kind of press into it, press into learning how to receive better. And, you know, the Holy Spirit's the one that he makes it possible for us to have spiritual gifts and do the things that Jesus did. He's the one who releases the gift and he nurtures the gifts in us. He breathes on the gifts in us. If we didn't have like the Holy Spirit giving us spiritual gifts, there would not be any expression of God's heart or the kingdom through us. It just wouldn't happen. You know, he allows us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus to the people that Jesus wants to touch through us. But if we don't, like, receive what God wants, the gifts that God wants to deposit in us, then we're not going to see the kingdom of God come crashing into the natural realm right through our lives. It's just imperative to be hooked up with the Holy Spirit and have him come and deposit those things. Another thing that we can do is just to begin to take a look at the roadblocks to our experiences of the Holy Spirit, because I think that we all have them. And so what's getting in the way? What's getting in between you and God and making it hard for you to experience what God wants you to experience in your life? Is it fear? of, you know, the things of the Spirit turning into some kind of crazy wildfire, everything getting out of control. You know, that's it's a pretty normal part of learning to receive from God, is just to work through those fears. Now, unfortunately, some people view the Holy Spirit as like spooky and weird and bizarre. Let me tell you something. The truth is, people are weird, not the Holy Spirit. People who are weird with the Holy Spirit were weird before the Holy Spirit. It's true. And, you know, so we can't blame the Holy Spirit for people's weirdness. I don't know. This is where I stand on that. What about pride? Like, just again, having a hard time admitting my need for dependence on the Spirit because I am pretty good, or we're pretty good, or pretty skilled at stuff. We're smart, we're gifted. Or is it just simply forgetting? Like, yeah, you know, I remember feeling God close at one point, you know, in my life, like when I first got saved, or at Bible camp, but it hasn't been fresh since then. So we don't have a present day experience of the Spirit. And we're trying to, you know, we're carrying on for years over from one deposit a long time ago. So we forget. Or sometimes it's disappointment. It's disappointment or hurt that get in the way of our experiencing God. There's times in my life when, you know, I'm just coming under the negative effects of life's pain or loss or disappointment. And then I realize that I'm not letting my community know about my need. And God will say, you don't have community in your life. You need to invite other people into your life right now and ask for prayer and ask for encouragement, people that know you and that love you. And as that I'm letting people that pray for me and lay hands on me and pray for me, I hear the Lord say, Brenda, don't ever forget what it feels like to have this community come around you. It's a no community problem. Maybe there's distrust from past hurts in the church. Or in my life, I think a lot of it was just the way that the Holy Spirit had been represented. You know, because I honestly think that some of the way that the church has represented the Holy Spirit is maybe it starts out in the Spirit, things are in the Spirit, and the Spirit's present, but then we attach a lot of flesh to it and a lot of hype. And, you know, at that point, when it's offensive. And so some of us have seen that kind of stuff, and we're like, I am not going there. And I had to work through that. I had ran out of a church that had so much Holy Spirit / flesh in it that I couldn't believe that it was God. And so I think sometimes that causes some distrust. And you know what God says to me about that? Yeah, Brenda, that wasn't my heart. That wasn't a right reflection of who I am. Let's go over here. Let's do it differently. What about no previous experience with the supernatural? Because if the move of the Spirit is totally new to you, then it's going to take some time to get beyond just the uneasiness that you feel. And there isn't really a quick fix for that. But I think over time, you become a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more comfortable to the Holy Spirit and his experiences and his gifts. I remember a friend of mine was, been here now for years, but when they first came to the Vineyard Church, we were having like a healing service. Only had been around a few weeks maybe, and I noticed that she was sitting there kind of watching the God activity in the room, and people were getting prayer, probably, you know, 30, 40 people getting prayer. Some people were getting healed. People were getting set free of demons. People were crying. People were happy. I mean, it was just like a huge melting pot of Holy Spirit, God activity going on in the room. And I noticed that she couldn't get up out of her seat and that she seemed uneasy. So I just went and sat by her and I said, you know, how are you doing? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And she said, this freaks me out. This is freaking weird. But I have never seen this before. But I think that this is what the church is supposed to be like. I think that God is here. But it's just that lack of experience. Another thing that kind of trips us up is this performance-driven people are so busy doing and giving that they never stop to acknowledge their need to receive. And I get this, because I love to pay attention to your needs and I'll be fine, right? And, you know, caregivers, and maybe that's even what you're called to. Maybe that's part of how you worship God. But it doesn't mean that you get a pass from receiving. And so sometimes we got to stop doing and having a checklist. If we're a high achiever, I got something for you to achieve. And that's just to stop and start to receive, practice receiving. And let God expose your own need for him and for the power of God. So those are some of the roadblocks that I think if we can identify and start to ask God to help remove those things, we can begin to have more experiences. A third way that we can keep from missing God's activity is just to practice sitting in God's presence. Because the more that we're with him, the more we're going to notice what he's up to. The more we're going to see what he's doing. And, you know, try this. I love to take spiritual things and put wheels on them and make them very practical. And so put these words on your calendar. 9 a.m., sit in God's presence. 12 p.m., grab lunch, go by the lake, and sit in God's presence. Put it on your calendar. You put everything else on your calendar. Why don't you put a day with God on your calendar? I've been doing this for about a little over a year. And, you know, every year we ask our staff to develop some goals and objectives for different ministry areas to accomplish. And last year we asked that all of our goals and objectives would include some spiritual formation goals for our own lives. Because it's important for us as leaders to have our own soul care and be leading ourselves there. And so one of mine was that I felt like God asked that each week would include at least 3 hours of silence and solitude, which, oh, kill me, God, I'm a chatty girl. You know, and you want me to be quiet. And it's been a really good discipline for me to learn, because also we tend to go to God and ask, right? And so for me, this was about listening, like learning to dial down and listen and not be throwing, you know, all this stuff. I had plenty of time to do that when I'm driving in the car and stuff, but I could actually sit and listen to God say who I am, or what do you think about this in my life, or what do you want for me, or where do you want to take me deeper. And that time in my Father's presence has rocked my life in the past year. Like I've been walking with Jesus since I was 5, but I have felt more of God's love and his grace than I've ever known. But it called for something from me. It called for me to practice sitting in God's presence and more faithfully than I'd been doing. Psalm 51:11 says, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." So the key to seeing change or good fruit, you see that Holy Spirit and God's presence are linked. They're together. They're in tandem there. And the key to seeing that kind of change or good fruit that we're praying for, that we'd like to be evident in our life, it totally depends on God's presence and the receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how you cannot expect to change if you don't have a supernatural run-in with the Holy Spirit. In fact, I tell people all the time, like, you know, people are talking about, you know, separation for a while in a marriage, maybe while they go through a healing process. And, you know, one person will say, "I don't know, I'm afraid to reconcile. I don't know if they've changed." And I'm like, well, can they tell you stories of how they've sat in the power of God with people and went through healing because they had Holy Spirit experiences? Because if they can't tell you stories of how God has come and done stuff that they couldn't do themselves, then I don't know if they are healed. You've got to have tangible Holy Spirit experiences to see the life change and the healing that you want to have happen in your life. So let's just talk a little bit honestly about how to receive from the Holy Spirit, because at some point I think we all need to learn how to press into this and receive well, and how to drop the cocoon, right? Like we all got these defenses going on, and you know, we have to learn how to do. We got elephant skin. Some of us got elephant skin on because, you know, we're keeping out all the bad stuff. Well, that's working, but you're also keeping out the good stuff. And so there has to be a place in your life where you can come into the presence of God and let down that wall, that elephant skin, and say, wait a minute, this is my safe zone. This is where Jesus gets to come in closer than anybody else, and he gets to put what he wants in me, put his heart in me, take what he wants out. But I've got to let him come close to me. I've got to begin to experience him, or that's not going to happen. And at the Vineyard, we will never stop inviting you to learn how to receive and the Holy Spirit, because I think we can all learn how to receive. And truth is, I don't think we're that good at it. And it's not something that we do that naturally. But I do think that if you put some effort in fact, personally, I had to train myself to receive. And so I'm going to just talk a little bit about how I did that. The first thing that I had to do was admit that I was having trouble. I just had to admit that I'm having difficulty receiving. I'm watching a lot of people receive from God, and I'm thinking things like, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not special enough. There's something wrong in me. I'm broken. And honestly, I just had to admit that the problem was me not being able to receive, and that I could, in fact, learn how, and I needed to do something about it. So here's some signs to watch for that might indicate that you, too, are having trouble receiving. You probably struggle receiving from other people. Like people say, thank you, you dodge it. They want to do something for you. Oh, no, not me. Do it for someone else. I don't need help. You can't let people help you. You can't let people in. You don't want to share. You want to go through stuff and then later tell them about it and go, wow, that was rough, but I made it through it. But they never get to come into the process of being part of what God's doing or receiving from people. You struggle to see significant change in your life. Like, you just, like, keep getting stuck. And you try, but you're stuck. And you don't see those breakthroughs in your life. That can be a sign. You have loads of head knowledge, but little experience. I mean, you could talk circles around people with everything you know about God, but you cannot tell me a story of the last time that the Holy Spirit came and did something tangible in your life. That's a sign that you are not receiving the Spirit. Or you struggle to engage with God on an emotional level. And, you know, a lot of times we've gone through hard stuff and our head and our heart get detached. We made it through hard stuff because of that. It's kind of like a survival mechanism. But we're not supposed to live the rest of our life like that. We need God to bring our head and heart back together. We need to be able to engage with God at an emotional level, which means when I sing a worship song, I'm going to actually believe the words and it's going to move me. Or, you know, I'm going to see somebody's need and I'm going to feel God's compassion for them. And you feel a soft-heartedness towards the things of the Lord. So if you can't engage with God on an emotional level and it's all out of your head, then I'd say maybe you're having trouble receiving the things of the Spirit. And the other thing that really helped me was asking other people their story. Because I grew up in a very conservative evangelical church, and they taught me a lot about the Bible, a lot about salvation, a lot of really good things. But I don't remember learning about the Holy Spirit. And when I began, if my Sunday school teacher hears the podcast, she's going to be, I tell you about the Spirit, I don't know what you were doing, Brenda Kreiner, but sorry, lady. I don't remember it, if you did teach it to me. But when I began to learn who the Spirit was and what his role in my relationship with God was, it really helped me to hear other people's experiences of how they received God and how they received the Holy Spirit. And it motivated me because I started to want him in my life more because I could see that this was really something that all of us have to kind of learn how to do. And then from there, I needed to decide to spend time practicing receiving the Holy Spirit. You know, you can ask for prayer for that. And you can just let other people who have done it, like, walk you through those experiences by letting them pray for you. Like, just come up to anyone who's praying here or at a small group and just say, you know what? I don't know what I need. I'm not that person who needs this or that, but I just need to practice receiving the Holy Spirit. Assume the position and let them pray. Right? You just practice. I mean, there was like loads of times where I didn't even know what I wanted prayer for. I didn't even know if it was going to work. I didn't know if I was going to do it right or wrong. I'm practicing. I just let lots of people pray for me, and they just prayed for what God wanted. I didn't have to come up with it first. God already knows, and he'll do what he wants to do, but just practice it. And pretty soon, before long, you start to recognize the Holy Spirit. You know, even in the last couple days here, the last 12 hours, I've had people go, I feel something I haven't felt. That's the Holy Spirit. Ask for more of that. Ask for it tomorrow. Ask for it the day after that. Ask for it next week. Ask for it in the Sam's Club parking lot. Ask for it in aisle 12 of Super One. Ask for it more. And you're giving your heart over to it. You're getting more and more comfortable recognizing the Holy Spirit and hearing God's voice because you start to recognize it. And I know this struggle well because it's a very normal thing for all of us to walk through. But just after a little while, just gets easier and easier. You just start to surrender your heart. I would just like, sometimes I pray for myself. I lay my hand on my heart and I'd be like, heart, receive. Surrender it to the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's pretty practical stuff. But you just practice receiving and ask God, show me what you want. Help me to hear you. So just start getting prayer. Start getting prayer. Small groups, wherever people are praying. And then grab somebody and tell them what God said or what God did. And you know what? The Holy Spirit, when you start to do this, he's going to tell some of you to reach out to like that pregnant teen to give her another option when she's about to get an abortion. Or he's going to like have some of you go across the street, like out of your way to take down barriers between you and somebody who's different from you in race or sexual orientation or economic status. And as leaders in this community, we're going to be praying for you that God will show you how to remove these roadblocks so that you can receive the Spirit, because it's going to turn your world upside down and make your relationship with God personal and authentic and relational like you've never known. It'll come alive in new ways. And, you know, you might need healing so you can receive. God will show you that. But you'll be able to openly receive. So let's look at a final aspect of partnering with the Spirit. Partnering with the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to experience and relate to God. Romans 5:5 says, God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You know, so many of us walk around not feeling loved by God simply because we haven't learned how to receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing, the shortcomings that we're putting up with in our life that just depend on showing up and receiving? And if we're not nurturing, I think of my relationship with the Holy Spirit as a friend and a friendship that I want to nurture and I want to welcome him. If we're not doing that, then we're always going to struggle to feel God's love. And the Holy Spirit can be ignored. He can be grieved. He can be quenched, the Bible says. It says he can be pleased, which tells me that's how I know that he has the same kind of relational characteristics as a person and as a friend. And I can encourage that friendship with him. The Holy Spirit's the one who makes it possible for me to be transformed and changed from the inside out. And eventually, you know what? You have enough of these little deposits of the Holy Spirit, enough of these times where you sit in God's presence, you practice receiving, he washes off, you know, just toxic junk from your life. And you have enough of these experiences, and guess what? You start to look like Jesus. You start to sound like Jesus more and more. Because he's the one who starts to flow through you so that, you know, people get Jesus Christ instead of you. In a situation. And he's the one who deposits all the healing in you that you need supernaturally, and the help that you need and that I need. And he brings wholeness and freedom, and he sets us free. And then my life, it begins to show the fruits of the Spirit. You ever wonder how to get that big basket of fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. You know why you need them, right? Because of people. It's hard to get along with people without the fruits of the Spirit. It's hard to have a healthy relationship without the fruits of the Spirit. But you get those things from the Spirit. They come from him. And in the Holy Spirit's presence, I've found there is a place of true peace that you cannot find anywhere else. And it's, you know, peace is freedom. It's freedom from all kinds of like disturbing and oppressive thoughts or emotions. And it's like everything is in harmony and just clicking. And it's very, very restful. Very restful. Romans 8:6 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace." Well, how might that change our life? You know, a couple weeks ago, I was praying with a gal, and she was describing, and she looked terribly oppressed. Just her body was, you know, heavy laden with just her shoulders hunched over. And she said, "I'm absolutely wrecked by worry and anxiety. I'm just obsessed over, you know, thoughts of my family and my children, and is everyone going to be okay?" And she said, "It's just, I can't sleep at night. My life is like dysfunctional because of this worry and this anxiety." And I said, "Well, let's pray." And as we prayed and just invited the Holy Spirit to come, he just began to give her a bath. I like to think of the Holy Spirit sometimes as just washing us, cleansing us, but just washing off all the negative effects of all of that anxiety and worry and the way that it's plaguing us and kind of making us sick emotionally and physically. And we just, even then, Jesus spontaneously, the Spirit gave us this picture of Jesus, just her coming to Jesus with this heavy burden, huge backpack, oversized. And Jesus just took it and he just lifted it off of her. And he's like, "I got this stuff. You don't got to carry that anymore. It's not your job." And she just physically, her shoulders went back and she just, this peace came over her. And we just prayed for just like this peace of God, just come. Take place of that anxiety or that worry. Wash it off in the name of Jesus. And we get done praying and she's like, "Wow, that's a lot better." Right? And I'm like, "Yeah, and you can do it anywhere, anytime, a billion times a day. It's pretty awesome." Pretty awesome sauce. The Holy Spirit is always going to ask us to keep taking risks. This Christian life that we're invited into, it's like hugely adventurous, right? ... As long as you're leaning into the things of the Spirit. I mean, come on. Some of us are like bored out of our brains, right? Because we're not taking any risks. We don't have the Holy Spirit helping us take risks. Like, what if we just started listening to God, receiving the Spirit, asking God, "What are you doing that's unimaginable today? And how can I partner with you? How can I take risks daily with the help of the Holy Spirit?" You know what? After years of doing ministry, every single time I hear the Spirit nudging me to do something, I feel like I'm taking a big risk. So I'm not going to tell you that it's going to go away, because I don't think it goes away. I think it always feels adventurous and risky to lean into the things of the Spirit. But then I see these amazing things happen under the power of the Spirit in people's lives and in my life. And, you know, I kind of just gotten used to saying this. Like, I don't really know what God's going to do. But I know that we can anticipate him doing something. I don't have to, you know, it's not a question of whether or not he's going to show up. The question is, like, do I trust him to do what he wants and wills to do through me? And by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or am I just afraid that he won't show up? Here's what I'm going to close with, and then we're going to baptize some folks. A really high price was paid for us to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. But the price has been paid. The ultimate plan, it's already been totally laid out. God said, "My son Jesus Christ, he's going to be sacrificed on the cross so that you can be restored into relationship with the Father, and then I'm going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit." And there's something in me when I think about this that makes me just sort of step back and go, "Who am I? Who am I that I would say, I know you're offering this Holy Spirit presence and power, but God, I'm going to take a pass. You're like, I'm going to take it. Don't worry about me." Like, when I play that out on my mind, I feel really confronted. Like, don't you? Like, he did all of this for us so that we could have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then we just choose to shrink back from it because of what? All these fears and all these roadblocks and all these things that the enemy is throwing down to try to keep us apart from experiencing God. And then God is wanting, God is waiting, God is saying, you're my children. And, you know, I want you to embrace and demonstrate and live out of this power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that communities like ours, communities of faith that will live in an environment, create an environment where the Holy Spirit is welcome, they are thriving. And the kingdom of God is coming. And suddenly, we're not just going through the motions anymore, are we? Like, we have headlines of really inspiring life change happening. And you have people's lives that will never be the same again. Like each one of these people that are being baptized today. And I think, you know, if you're being baptized today, even as Jesus came up out of that water and the Father said, this fills me with so much joy. Well done. I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. That's what I think you're going to feel today when you get baptized. So we're going to move into baptism. And let me tell you just what it is. Baptism is this outward sign of our inner commitment to follow Jesus. And as we step in the water, we're admitting that we need him. We're admitting that we have sin, we have shame that needs to be washed away. And then, you know, basically as we go under the water, we're dying to our old way of living without Jesus. And we're saying, we don't want to be the boss. We don't want to be in charge anymore. And then when we're coming up out of the water, we're being raised up with a new life in Christ and the help of the Holy Spirit. And then for all of us that are watching, we're celebrating with you. Your newly found hope and your affection for Jesus. And so we're witnesses and we can see the change in your life since you've come to Christ. We can see it. And so here's the thing. If you're here today and even if it's spontaneous in this moment and you never talked to us before, but you're feeling the Holy Spirit. In fact, last night there was someone that got baptized spontaneously, and they said, every time you offer baptism, I say, I'll do it the next time. And then I'm sitting there watching another baptism, and I'm not getting baptized. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, it is the right time. This is my time. And so, you know, she got up and all of her clothes, she got baptized, and it was such a cool celebration. Her family came up. Now, if you've already been baptized before, you don't have to get baptized again and again multiple times because that's not necessary. Baptism is like your entrance into the family. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Brenda, last time I checked on my way in, it was about 14 degrees outside, and you're asking me to go home in wet clothes. No, I'm not. Clint, our baptism pastor, went to Walmart and he got you some clothes. So he had a hard time explaining to the lady why he was buying so many pairs of sweats in so many sizes. But we have them. We have sweats. We have t-shirts that say love God, love people on them. And all you gotta do is take off your shoes and socks and be baptized and we'll give you dry clothes. We'll give you a towel that you can keep. Big present. Says the Vineyard on it. And that's just a gift. And I'm sure we can blow dry your hair if you need that too. But the people that have been spontaneously baptized, it has been an incredible spiritual thing as they just listened to the Lord over this weekend and gotten baptized spontaneously. So don't let any of the things that would normally deter you, like you don't have dry clothes because we have dry clothes for you, be baptized, to deter you from being baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I'm going to ask is if you had planned to be baptized to come up, and if you had not planned to be baptized to come up, and just stand right here in the front, and we're going to just ask a couple questions, and then we're going to baptize you. Just stand right here and face that way, and wave. Cool. Come on up. We have kids that are coming in to watch. We always bring our kids in from downstairs and junior high to watch baptism so they can see it and talk to them about it. And we, in the last couple weeks, we've had lots of kids surrender their life. We had 16 kids a couple weeks ago surrender their life to Christ on the weekend. So come on up. And let me just say this, you know, while we're worshiping and baptizing, we'll do this simultaneously. We'll baptize people and worship all at the same time, and you can cheer and clap for them, and you can see it up on the jumbo screen there. But you're going to, maybe you're sitting there and you're going, can't do it, next time. But then it's just like, all right, I'm throwing in the white towel that they're going to give me, and I'm going to get baptized. And so is all you have to do is during the time that we're worshiping God and baptizing, just come on up to this side and talk to Clint. And you can get baptized spontaneously, even if you're having a hard time getting up right now. That happened at the last service. Three more people came up. All right. Congratulations, you guys. It's exciting. Clint, how many do we have planned?
We had six going into the morning.
So all the rest of these people are spontaneously getting baptized. So let me ask you guys a few questions, and then we're going to baptize you, okay? And you guys have already, most of you have heard these questions if you were in one of our classes, but if you didn't, here they are. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord and King, and in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life and grace? You may answer yes. I can't hear you.
Yes!
Do you renounce Satan and all of his works and all of his ways?
Yes.
Do you confess your need for forgiveness of sins and with a humble heart put your hope in God's mercy and your whole trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
And with his help, do you seek to follow him, becoming more like him until you see him face to face?
Yes.
All right. Well, let me pray, and then we're going to baptize you. Father, how exciting is this? I know that you are absolutely thrilled with these lives. And Father, we can look at their life and we can see change. We can see the Holy Spirit in their life as you've changed their lives. And we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And thank you, God. I ask that even today, as they just go under the water and go deeper in the waters of baptism, that you would help them go deeper in their relationship with you, that a veil would be lifted and that they would experience your love in new ways, deeper ways, Father. I thank you for this picture, this beautiful picture of what it means in their relationship with you. And Father, we support and we cheerlead them on as they walk with you for the coming months as their community. In Christ's name, amen. 15 people got spontaneously baptized this weekend. And I don't think their lives are ever going to be the same. And the next risk they take will be a lot easier than that one, I bet you. Well, we're going to let them get dry, and we're going to just end here and close up. But I wanted to just say this. You know, maybe you're here just kind of checking out the church or seeking God. Or, you know, I've heard people say they came and they hadn't been in church in years and they just sort of felt God there. They've experienced something. And if that's you, we just want to extend an invitation. You know, when you meet somebody really cool, they're like your favorite person, you just can't wait to introduce them to people. And that's what it's like for us to introduce people to Jesus. You know, knowing these stories of some of these folks that got baptized, it's incredible how they just were invited in. They just said, okay, I'm looking for God, and I give him my life. And, you know, Omar, 18-year-old, he surrendered his life. He'd been coming and just serving around here, and he surrendered his life in the pantry, in the kitchen here this week. And I asked him, I said, you know, we were talking about heaven and hell, and he was asking some great questions. And I said, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? And he said, no. And I said, do you want one? And he said, yeah. And so, you know, right there, he just gave his life to God and invited Jesus in. And today he spontaneously decided to get baptized. And there's a story for every person of the Holy Spirit pursuing God, pursuing us with his love, and us just simply responding to that And so maybe you're here and you just have never, ever responded to that invitation or to God's love. I'm just going to pray, and praying a prayer is not a magic prayer. It's just that when you meet someone, you usually talk to them. And so that's why we pray, to introduce people to Jesus. And so just pray along with me, and something like this. Father, I'm here today, and I just, as I'm with these people, I see something in them that I want in my life. I see the Holy Spirit. I feel the Holy Spirit. And I want more of that in my life. And so, Father, I've been in charge. I've been having the steering wheel, and I just want you to come, and I want you to take control. And I just give you my life, and I invite you into my life to begin to teach me and show me as I explore what it will look like for me to walk with God. And Father, I ask that as each person has just stood in your presence and witnessed the Holy Spirit in the lives of people, bringing incredible life change, I ask that today they would just welcome your Spirit into them even more. If that's something that you did, whether you did it years ago and you started up a new relationship or a recommitment, or it's the first time, we have a little gift we want to give you, and it's really easy to get. If the prayer team could come up, we have a time after each service where we just respond to what God's doing. We just pray for each other. It's kind of like, you know, follower of Jesus 101. That's how we get through life, is with each other. And you might be sick. You might need something. You might want to be thanking God for something. Maybe you just want to practice receiving the Holy Spirit. You can come up. They can give you one of these on the both sides of the stage. We have baskets. Or there's one basket by the door. If you need to leave, you can grab one on your way out. There's a Bible in there, a good place to start reading about who God is and how much he loves you. And there's a message from me and Michael, and we want you to take that if you start a relationship with God today, or you're looking for him. And just don't feel like you have to rush out. I know it's a little bit later, but guess what? There's going to be a line in the parking lot getting out of here. And I've found if you wait closer to 1 o'clock to leave, you don't have to wait at all. And so you might as well stay in here. You might as well. Crock pot's on. Food's going to be there when you get home. So you might as well just worship and respond to God and pray with each other before we leave today. Thank you so much. Stay as long as you want. Thank you so much for being with us. God did spontaneously, the Holy Spirit does this sometimes. He did give me a few words. Those are like thoughts that he put into my heart and my mind as I was praying for y'all. And there are things that I think he wants to heal, or he's inviting us into today. Just four of them. Somebody that has fallen arches, maybe multiple people, and it's causing a lot of pain in your feet. I think God is inviting you to get prayer for that today. A tooth or a nerve pain in, I think it was your left side of your face or cheek. Now, if you have a pain in the right side, just, Brenda had a wrong side of the face. Get prayer. A rash or a skin irritation that's causing a lot of discomfort. I think God wants to heal that today. And then I think there were multiple people on this one, but it's not so much a physical thing, but an inner thing, which, you know, we believe the Holy Spirit can go to places and heal us inside. And it's the pain and the loss of some folks. I think there might be two of you for sure that have lost your mother. And even if it was years ago, there's still a negative disappointment there that's making you have some dysfunction in your relationships. Those are just things that I think the Lord is inviting us to pray about with you. And so all I have to do is just come up and say, oh, I'm a person with the fallen arches or whatever. And then they'll just pray for that. Or you just come up and go, just practicing. All right. Bless you guys.